Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us because it is Friday. And once again, it is my joy to have with me Brother Paul Sutcliffe from New York. Hello, Brother Paul.
Hello, glad to be here.
Absolutely. And it is our joy, me and Brother Paul, to take you for a circle around the world to see what just happened in the last week since we talked to you last Friday. And as you will hear us today, you think we're doing the same program we did last week because we're actually repeating the same stories, different names, different location around the world, but the same fruit. Because guess what? Banana fruit, if you eat it in America, is the same banana fruit. If you eat it in Africa, it's the same banana fruit. If you eat it in Europe or in Australia, as a matter of fact, it will taste the same, which means the problem is not the people. The problem is not the culture. The problem is not where you live. The problem is Islam. The tree of Islam and the fruit which fall from it are always the same. So, Brother Paul, let's start with USA. So what's going on in the United States since last week?
Well, Palestinian scholars are now claiming they are oppressed by Zionist Jews on college campuses across the United States. Palestinian scholars met on Zoom to discuss, quote, academic freedom and Palestine threats and trends. This event was moderated by Yusuf Munir, and they played the victim of bias against them, claiming they are oppressed.
Oh, my world. Here we go, America. Maybe I have warned you about that a few years ago, and here it is, the circle of the invasion of the Muslim to the world. First of all, when Muslims go to any country, they are in a small number. They are so loving. They are so peaceful. It doesn't matter what you say to them. It doesn't matter what you do to them. Even if you did something not right, they will smile in your face. They will give you hugs and kiss you on your cheek like nothing wrong. Then a little bit later, Muslims start look to you in an unusual way. Not the smiley way, but I don't like what you say to me. I don't like the way you look at me. I don't like the way you think about me. And then a little bit later, Muslim will play that they are the victim. And they're going to be so upset about it, but they're not going to do anything about it except they just will talk about it. Why they're doing that? That is to build their case for the time of revenge, the time of retaliation. As they will tell you, we've been in America for 50 years and people have been abusing us, especially these Jewish people. You see, these Jewish students, these Jewish salesmen, these Jewish workers, these Jewish this, these Jewish that, and we got sick and tired of it. And then the day will come when Muslim will have the upper hand and they will retaliate and revenge of all those who they claim that they harmed them, but in reality, they did not harm them at all. Think about what happened 1,450 years ago. Muhammad lived in the city of Mecca. He had 40 followers, or maybe 50. You know what? I'll round the number. I'll make it 100. Imagine me, 100 Muslims live in the city of Mecca among thousands of Jews and Christians and idol worshippers. And they were not having any difficulty at all for 13 years. But then Muhammad started pushing his ideology against everybody who lived in the city of Mecca. Well, the Jewish and the Christian and the other worshipers did not like it. So they were actually start showing a little bit uncomfort look or to be put in words against the Muslims and what the Muslims are doing to them. Imagine with me, somebody insult your God, insult your belief in your own country when that someone is a small, tiny minority. And then Muhammad left Mecca, immigrating to the city of Yathrib. And immediately he started building the case against the Jews and the Christians and the idol worshippers of Mecca. And then you will hear Muslims, even today in America, that Muhammad was a victim of the Jews and the Christians. They tried to kill him. They tried to kill his companion. As a matter of fact, they did this and they did that, making up a case for retaliation or revenge. And obviously, 9 years later, when Muhammad had 10,000 followers, these are 10,000 men who love to die for Allah, who love to die more than anyone else loved to live. And they wipe out all the Jews and all the Christian idol worshippers, destroying the 360-some gods used to be inside the Kaaba. How this happened? It's a simple blueprint which Muslims have been using in the last 1400 years around the world. When in reality, if you think about it, if the Muslim by the leadership of Muhammad were persecuted in the days of Muhammad while they were living in Mecca, how difficult it is for a few thousand people to kill 40 or 50 or 100 in, say, in 10 minutes. No difficulty at all. It's an easy thing to do. So it's a great evidence that Muhammad was not persecuted while he was living in Mecca by anybody else. It's simply because he only had few followers, less than 100, and they were able to live peaceably for 13 years. But this is how Muslims did it in the past, and the blueprint worked with Muhammad wonderfully. So why not use the same blueprint to build the case here in America? Muslims claiming to be victims in America, especially from the wicked Jews. A little bit later, we're going to add some other people to the wicked Jews, like the Christians and others who will not submit to Islam. So if you're not going to submit to Islam and become a follower of Muhammad, then you become an enemy. And Muslims retaliate against all those who live in the West, those who will not submit to Islam. So, Brother Paul, that is a story about the USA. Let's move from USA to Sweden. And what do we have in Sweden?
Well, this week, Hussein al-Rubi was convicted of aggravated assault for having pushed a man fishing into the icy water in Malmö, Sweden. He ran back to his four companions after doing this in the car, who filmed the entire thing, and they all laughed together. Hussein will serve 2 years and pay the victim 60,000 kronas. Hussein al-Rubi claimed they were celebrating his birthday on the day this happened, and it was part of doing something crazy. That wasn't true. His birthday was 10 months before.
Well, Brother Paul, 10 months before, it's coming in 4 months. So why not celebrate his birthday 4 months earlier? Here is the deal, Paul. If you want to give any excuse for what you do, there are plenty of excuses you can give. Mr. Hussein is a good Muslim. He pushed that guy in ice water. And you know what happened when you fall in ice water and nobody helped you to get out quickly? Maybe you actually freeze to death. And I'm sorry, I never heard in any culture in the world so far that when it is your birthday, you do something crazy. Have you ever heard that before? Is this not a brand new excuse for Muslims to commit a crime and get away with it? It was my birthday. I have to do something ridiculous. I have to do something crazy. So that's why I pushed the guy who was fishing into the ice water. I'm sorry, this is a dumb excuse without any foundation. People in birthday do not harm others. And since it was 10 months after his birthday or 4 months before his final birthday, that was a dumb excuse anyway. Well, let's move from Sweden to Austria. And what do we have in Austria, Brother Paul?
A well-known and admired teacher of German in Vienna sounded the alarm about how Muslim migrants treat each other and Austrians. He said, "The Syrian doesn't work with the North African because he sees him and his language as sullying pure Quranic Arabic. The European doesn't practice dialogues with the Muslim woman because he thinks he's better. And the Ukrainian, who still doesn't speak a word of German after a year of German classes, is constantly absent and makes it known that he likes neither the country nor the Austrians." The teacher, along with several other educators, are citing frequent incidents of sexual assaults and ethical conflicts among immigrants.
Man, oh man, you summarize the future of the Muslims in America from the country of Austria. This is the reality, my dear friends. Muslims do not like Muslims. As a matter of fact, it's a fact. I remember one time I was speaking in Minnesota with a bunch of Muslim Somali. So I talked to these Muslim people. And I said, "Why did not go to Saudi Arabia?" They said, "Because Saudi do not like us." And I said, "Why Muslim Saudi do not like Muslim Somali?" They said, "Because we are black and they are racist." You notice the Muslim Somali are confessing that to me, Brother Paul, by their own tongue, that the Muslim Saudi are racist. They don't like Muslim African because Muslim African are black. And so on and on with all the reasons for why we have racism anywhere around the world. But you will find it between Muslims and Muslims. But so far, Brother Paul, just remember that. So far in America, I do not see any conflict between Muslims and Muslims. As a matter of fact, you'd be surprised to go to some mosque, as you and I have been in some mosque in Ohio. And guess what? You see Muslim Shia and Muslim Sunni holding hand, praying together like brothers. They show the love and respect to each other. They don't have any racism against each other. But wait, Brother Paul, when the right time comes, you will see Muslims bombing Muslims in America in their different mosques of different denominations. because that's exactly what's happening in the Middle East. So I'm not surprised that in Austria, Muslims do not like Muslims for whatever reasons, because there is hatred among Muslims to one another. If they could not find some common enemy to destroy, they destroy each other. As I said before, there are more Muslims killed by the hand of other Muslims than all the Muslims who were killed by any infidel's hand. As for the sexual assault, that is actually the practice of the verses of Allah in the Quran, the practice of the Sunnah of Muhammad in the Hadith.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith, the would-be prophet Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Brother Paul, we're going to go from Austria to next town here. It is Germany. What the Muslims have done in Germany last week?
Well, Germany's opposition leader, Friedrich Merz, caused a stir this week after he criticized the government's migration policy. He's claiming that 300,000 rejected asylum seekers have not left the country and are now enjoying full benefits, including free dental care.
Just a minute. You mean because the Germans said we don't want these Muslims who are in our country illegally to stay in America, that means the Muslim will just pack up their bags and leave and go back to where they come from? Are you out of your mind? These are not visitors to Germany. These are invaders to Germany. So when you invade a country, you don't leave because the people of the country say, please, would you please leave? Take your wife and your kids with you. Of course not. We're not leaving. We're not going anywhere. Tell me more about what these Muslims are getting out of Germany.
Are now getting their teeth remade when an ordinary German can't even get a dental appointment.
It is a reality. It is a true history of Muslims in any foreign country, like any foreigner who have come to any country illegally. So Muslims in Germany can fix their teeth, and I guarantee you they have full health care coverage, while the German will not have it, like same thing in America. Most foreigners in America, most illegal in America, will have full benefit, but you, as an American-born individual, you will not have that coverage. It is a reality, not just in America, it's everywhere around the world. So they're upset because Muslims are not going to leave Germany. Well, guess what? They're not leaving. Their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren will continue to benefit of whatever left of the economy of Germany until Germany becomes so poor that they cannot have any financial aid to these Muslim foreigners.
Yes, in fact, what you're saying is actually being reported throughout most of the northern European countries are now declaring bankruptcy as a result of this massive Muslim migration into the northern countries.
Well, let's move to Netherlands. What do we have in Netherlands?
In Rotterdam, which is the second largest city in the Netherlands, it's over 20% Muslim. A 32-year-old medical student who is a Muslim base, they call him a Dutch Muslim. A medical student who was known to authorities as Fuad went on a deadly shooting spree in Rotterdam, leaving three innocent people dead. Fuad targeted his own neighborhood. He stormed into a neighbor's home, a 39-year-old woman, Marlis, and opened fire, killing her and initially wounding her 14-year-old daughter that caused that 14-year-old daughter's death. Marlis and her daughter filed a complaint against Fuad for animal cruelty. Next, Fuad set fire to his own place. The horror didn't end there. Fuad then went to the medical center at Erasmus University, where he entered a classroom and shot a 43-year-old teacher identified as Jürgen Damon. Fuad later entered a hospital that he set on fire and was captured by the police.
Man, what a great hero, Mr. Fuad. It doesn't matter if you are American who became Muslim or a foreigner born in some Muslim country, you come to America. You're a Muslim. The problem is Islam, not the Muslims. So here we go, Brother Paul, a Nazarene man who became a Muslim, changed his name to Fuad, and he is practicing the savage cults of Islam against his neighbor, against some hospital, against whatever he goes. This is the reality. Well, let's move on, Brother Paul, from Netherlands to India. And what do we have in the great country of India?
Well, on September 29th, a Hindu temple, Baba Badeshwar Mahadev in Uttar Pradesh, was attacked by a man named Javed. He attacked the worshippers armed with a heavy stick. He stormed the temple during a ceremony, injuring 8 worshippers. As the news of the attack emerged, it was reported that Javed was receiving treatment for mental health issues. Now, Op India claims this is now a regular occurrence for Muslims to attack Hindu temples and then claim mental illnesses. In this particular article, they listed 4 other attacks that received next to no punishment as a result of a Muslim attacker having mental health issues.
Well, here we go, Brother Paul. We were in Netherlands, and now we are in India, and we have the same problem. Guess what? It's the same tree. Banana tree. It will give you banana fruit. It doesn't matter where the tree is planted. So, yes, that guy must be crazy, because that is a good excuse for people not to be put to death. Because if you're crazy, you do not know what you're doing. Let's ask the question again. Was Allah mentally ill? Was Muhammad mentally ill? When I obey the teaching of the Quran and the command of Muhammad and practice it, will this make me mentally ill? If the Muslims say yes, that's fine. If not, then we have to stop this ridiculous excuse for why people do what they do in Islam. All right, let's move on from India to the country of Pakistan. Now, Pakistan is the largest Muslim country in the world, next to Afghanistan. And so what's going on in Pakistan, brother?
Well, Pakistan ordered 1.73 million refugees from Afghanistan to get out of the country after it was noted that out of the last 24 suicide attacks, 14 of them, which works out to 58% of them, were from Afghanistan. So they now must leave before the end of the month.
1.7 million Muslim Afghani is going to be kicked out of the country of Pakistan, which is another Muslim country. And you know what, Paul? I guarantee you, within the next 30 days, that 1.7 million Muslim Afghani will be out of Pakistan. You see, Muslim can easily kick Muslim out. And if they choose not to leave this country, they will send their body out, which means they're going to be dead, and they're going to be thrown out of the body dead anyway. But I guarantee you, the British could not do it. The French could not do it. Not any country in Europe, not the Americans, not the Canadian, not the Australian, none of the Western foreign countries where majority are not Muslims can do what the Pakistani Muslims for sure can do. Simply because Muslims do not know political correctness and Muslims do not care about what the world would think of them to clean up their country from some jihadi Afghani. I wish we, the people of the West, can learn from the Muslims of Pakistan to do what is right. Any crime committed by Muslims should never be punished by putting these Muslims in our prison system, because, as I said before, they will come out of the prison more harsher Muslims, and they will do even more than they ever dreamed to do, because Muslims like to retaliate and to revenge. All right, this is Pakistan, and we're going to go to the country of Iran. And what do we have in Iran?
Well, an interesting story. It goes back to something that happened back in the 80s. This is a sad, sorry revealing of facts. Memory has recorded a person named Tabatai's interview that was on the Islamic Republic's news site, which all of a sudden got removed when it was revealed that this man said he received from Imam Khomeini a fatwa ordering martyrdom operations against the Americans. This is concerning the Beirut bombing.
So the surprise for some of our listeners is really Al-Khomeini gives a fatwa, gives the order for these Muslims to attack Jews and Americans and kill them. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, I believe September 11 was ordered by the Saudi king. King Fahd himself was involved in it. You always see it start with some important president, some important Muslim leader, some important mufti, some important jihadi, and that is the reality. Those who commit this violent crime do not do it on their own. Somebody above them gives the order and they obey. And I'm glad that people are coming out to expose the reality that these decrees were issued by important leaders like Al-Khomeini, which, by the way, we the American put him in power in the country of Iran. Well, let's move to the last story for today, and that's back to Africa as we go to Nigeria to see what's going on there.
Well, in Nigeria, the Fulani herdsmen killed 15 Christians in Southern Kaduna, kidnapped 32 others. These past 4 years, they have killed 23 pastors in Nigeria.
Well, let me put it this way. It is very simple. It is Muslims practice Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. As Allah said to the Muslims all over the world to follow the Sunnah of Muhammad. It's in the Quran we know that Muhammad and his early Muslim companions invaded Bani Qurayza, and Allah said in the Quran, a group of them you are killing and a group of them you are taking as captives. And he made you to inherit their homes and their land and their money. So Muslims in Nigeria see that what is written in Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27, a prophecy for them to fulfill in Nigeria. So they kill some. Of course, those are the ones who can fight. They keep the others alive. These are the women and the children or some important people for ransom, as you said, to get money later. And then they will inherit their homes and their land and their money. And that is pure practice, the Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. That is the practice of the Sunnah of Muhammad. Brother Paul, it was a long trip. We started from USA and we ended in Nigeria. Praise God for another broadcast. Thank you so much for producing that show for me and all the hard work you put in your search. And we look forward to see you again next Friday.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And my dear friends, until we meet again next Friday, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.